This is the Cornerstone Companion Podcast with me, your host, Dr. Vic McCracken, Assistant Professor of Theology and Ethics at Abilene Christian University. This podcast features interviews of ACU Cornerstone Spotlight speakers, students, and some outside voices. Thank you for listening in.
Well, I have with me in the studio today Dr. Janine Reese. Dr. Reese is an associate professor in the Department of Bible Missions and Ministry and also serves as a director of the Center for Women in Christian Service at ACU. She was named Outstanding Faculty of the Year for the College of Biblical Studies in 2004 and is ACU's University 100 Teacher of the Year in 2003. Her new book, Bound and Determined, Christian Men and Women in Partnership, published by ACU Press, comes out tomorrow. Dr. Reese, welcome to our studio today.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Well, you had a wonderful spotlight lecture today, and I asked several students if they wouldn't mind, as they were listening, to text me questions that came to them as they were listening to your lecture. So I'm going to have their questions form the basis of our conversation today. I had several students asking me questions related to the story that you told at the beginning of your lecture about the death of your first husband. And so I had several students asking me when your husband died, how that affected your understanding of the will of God. So could you talk to us about kind of the will of God and how your understanding of that was affected by this tragedy?
Well, I think until Mike's death, I saw my relationship with God as something that I just simply needed to discover what God wanted me to do and to do it. Therefore, I saw it as a plan. I was surprised that it was in God's plan for me to marry Mike because he had dated other young women before me and seemed to like them a lot as well. But once we married, it just seemed like the pieces all fit. And so it was very natural, not only because of that relationship, but also because of my understanding of what it meant to be in the Lord, that I was looking for God's plan. And if I could just find God's plan, then I could live it. It was like it was a roadmap that would tell me every step that I needed to take. You know, the hard part about that was when Mike died was all of a sudden it was like, well, what happened to that map? Did I misread it? Did I make a mistake? Was this what God had always had in mind? And so what I began to listen to is not only what my thoughts were telling me, but also what other people were saying, and that caused me to begin to think, though I would not have had the language to talk about it this way at that time, about not only God's biblical, and my understanding of God biblically, but my understanding of God theologically. What was my thinking and my understanding, what kind of God was that leading me to?
Mm-hmm. And so your understanding of God, how was that affected by this tragedy?
Well, as I said this morning this afternoon in the session, I didn't think it was a very smart thing for God to do. It seemed utterly ridiculous to me that God would not only take Mike's life, who was a radical disciple. I've mentioned this to several people today who didn't know him, that if he really took seriously, if someone asks for your coat, you give them the cloak also. If they want you to walk a mile, you walk too. He was extreme in his faith. And it was one of the things that had first attracted me to him. I had not known any young men like that before in my life. And so this was the passion that we shared. And so it seemed, like I said, ridiculous to me that God would take that. And people in their words of trying to comfort said things like, and we still, I hear this at funerals and at tragedies, God needed Mike more than you did. And I wanted to go, why? Why did God need Mike more than I did? Why was God not complete in being God? And so that seemed odd to me. Eventually, when I started dating Jack, my husband of the last 35 years, people would say, well, oh, that's why. You were actually intended to be with Jack. And that's when it really began to get troubling for me. Because I would think, what kind of God are you talking about? Are you talking about a God that's so capricious that he plays games with our lives, moving one, killing another, inserting another? And all of a sudden, I could not think in this plan way anymore. I had to begin to realize that there was a path of wisdom that God has been placing humanity on from the beginning. It has a lot to do with choice, of course, but was I going to walk a path of wisdom no matter what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So that even today, if I end up being widowed, and it's certainly not my decision, not what I want, but if I were, could I still be faithful in following God? And I think I can honestly say now, yes.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of Mike's death, that was the question.
Mm-hmm.
But I did make the choice to be
In your understanding now, reflecting back on the loss of your first husband, would you say that it was God's will that he died, or would you describe it in a different way?
I think at the time, I couldn't say it was God's will because, like I said, I thought it was so stupid, and I don't think God's stupid, so that was the clash. At the same time, the more I thought about it, I realized that God is responsible for this world and its fallen brokenness as well as in its glory and wonder. And so I don't think God caused, but I think God takes responsibility for. And so that's a tension that I live in. I don't even know exactly what that means. But I don't think God decided to zap Mike that day. I think it was a human error and an accident. And I think a lot of those things do happen. And frankly, they're senseless. And so I don't know that I understand even today why Mike died, but I have found meaning and ways to glorify God and grow closer to God through it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, the another thing that a lot of my students reacted to, thing that I picked up from the questions they've been asking, has to do with the question that you had everybody in the room consider, which is this question of whether or not God's will is a plan to find or a path to follow. And you've kind of alluded to, you know, that language in your initial description today on the podcast. Could you help us understand a little bit more about the difference? What does it mean to understand God's will as a plan to find? What does it mean to understand it as a path to follow?
Well, let me put it in some practical human terms. I do quite a bit of premarital counseling, dating advice, et cetera, here on the campus. And people will come and they'll ask the question, I think this is the person that God wants me to marry. Well, that's really nice if the other person thinks the same way. But on those rare occasions when one person says, this is who God wants to marry me to marry, and the other one says, no, sorry, God doesn't want me to marry you. What do we do with that? Where do we put it? Or people whose parents have prayed faithfully all of their life for the young man or the young woman that's being formed at this time in another home, in another place, to be the partner for their own child. But that child ends up being celibate and single for all of their life. Was God not answering that prayer? And so these are the places that we get into trouble. In essence, I think we paint God into a corner. And then we look, and that's not the God of the universe, the holy God of Israel, the one that we really are trying to serve. In essence, we've made God in our own image, and it's a form of idolatry. And so the thing I would ask is, if we're living with God's will as a path that we follow, God has, in essence, really revealed all of God's will to us in completion, in Jesus Christ, in giving us the church, in rendering the Holy Spirit to live within us, then I know that my task is to be faithful. It's to be faithful whether I'm old or young, married or single, with children or without, whether I have a job or I don't, whether I'm healthy or sick. My task is to be faithful to who God is, to be like God, to let God be changing me, and let God's people be blessing me, and let God's Spirit be transforming me into the perfect likeness of God and of Christ. I was made that way in the beginning, and now even though our world has broken and fallen, I am being transformed into that every day in a way that will lead me, I think, in the end, to be able to live with God forever.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like what you're saying, that you kind of lean towards the idea that God's will is a path to follow, that there's kind of this openness to our lives that we aim toward, but it's not that there's this one person that is there for each of us, or that there's just this one job, career path that we have to pursue, or we're falling out of God's favor. Do you think that there are any circumstances when God might have a certain plan for a certain person?
I think the Bible's full of examples of that. We look at Paul, who is so intent on persecuting this young church because it's not following at all what Paul understands about God or what God's people will be. And so there is this Damascus Road 180 thing that happens in Paul's life, and he turns and becomes, of course, as we know, the most prolific writer of the New Testament. So are there examples of this? Absolutely. And is it possible? Of course. But for the majority of us, we're not the Apostle Paul. We're not the Judge Deborah. And that does not mean that we don't live our lives to the ultimate glory of God. But, you know, backing up to the situation you asked me about earlier, when when I met Jack and people saw what a great relationship we had the potential to have, it was like, oh, so that's why Mike died. Well, that's a very, like I said, capricious God. Who would want to serve that God? But Jack and I began to ask the question because I had just begun to understand what it meant to be single, and he was leaving ACU as a graduate student single. And we both had come to realize that God could use us as fully as singles as he could as married people. And so when we began to date and we saw something intense and beautiful in our relationship, the question wasn't, do I want to marry you or not? It's like, where does this fit in the kingdom that we know God has called us to serve in? Will we be more effective alone or together? And that's the kind of question I ask. Will I be able to make my decisions according to kingdom values, according to this path of wisdom, which I think we see in the Old Testament and all the way through Jesus and into the prophets and beyond. And I think it's the path we're choosing. And it's, in essence, God has mapped it out for all of us. Can God intervene and do a Damascus Road on us? Of course. Mm-hmm. And God does sometimes. I don't think it's the everyday experience.
Right. I think that's great. I want to ask you one more question. So most of the students who are going to be listening to this podcast are freshmen. My guess is that most students listening to this podcast are thinking about their futures or about their majors or what it is that they're going to do with their lives, who they might meet, who will become their spouse. If there's one thing that you would want students to take from your spotlight lecture today that will help them as they begin discerning their way through this this path that God has set for them, what would you want them to take from your lecture?
I would want them to take the idea that the most important decision they can make, which then shapes every other decision, is the decision to follow the Lord. For the Lord to be supreme in everything that I do, what I say, and what I think. And of course, faithfulness does not mean I'm going to be perfect. I once thought it did. I thought it meant that I had to really get this right or I wouldn't get to be with the Lord in the end. I now know that faithfulness does not mean that. I stumble, I fall, I sin. Sometimes I sin unintentionally, and other times I look God right in the eye and I'm sinful. And I hate to admit that on a podcast, but it's the truth. And so faithfulness is not being perfect. Faithfulness is continuing in that path toward the Lord every day, whether situations are what I want them to be or whether they're not, whether it's a great tragedy that's happening in my life or a great blessing. It's that decision to follow the Lord no matter what. There's nowhere in this world that I'm going to be that God is not. There's no job that I'm going to take where God won't bless me. There's no marriage or lack of marriage that I'm going to be in that God can't take and use me effectively in that moment. And I think that sometimes we fail to realize our God is incredibly present and full of great grace and love.
I can't think of a better way to end our interview today. Janine, thank you very much for coming to our show.
Thank you, Victor. Mm-hmm.